Friends, this morning brings us to the end of this series of four sermons on the four Gospels in our New Testament. And what we have been doing in this time is looking at each of these Gospel writers individually and drawing from them some observations about those things that are distinctive about the way in which they, how do I put it, parcel the message they have to share with the world. And that we too then become benefactors because we gain the benefit of their insights, because the gospel records form not only a testimony to the things that they saw and did in the presence of Christ and the things that he did in their midst, but also what it all meant and how these things were intended to shape the lives of believers and, in fact, to transform the world. And so we have the benefit of four individual testimonies concerning Jesus Christ. And each has their, as we've said, special focus or interest. While essentially telling the same story, each one brings to it nuances that are crucial to the fullness of our understanding. And this morning we get to the Gospel of John. Now, a little background, most of which you probably know. John was a fisherman. One of a pair of brothers, James and John, sons of Zebedee, fishermen on the Sea of Galilee. Actually, they were also in very close association with two other brothers who were also part of the 12, Simon, Peter, and Andrew. And they were fishermen together, as the gospel account tells us, sort of in partnership in a fishing business on the Sea of Galilee. Now, James and John had an interesting family. Their father's name was Zebedee. They were sometimes referred to as the Sons of Thunder, which kind of makes you what that nickname implied about their father's personality. We also know that their mother was a very determined lady. There's a point in the gospel record where the mother of James and John went to Jesus and asked for a special privilege for her sons, that in the kingdom they might sit on his right side and his left side. You know, that's a formidable lady who's speaking up on behalf of her sons, and Jesus is very gentle with her in what might, you know, seem to be a sort of self-serving request. He very gently turns it aside. And John was the one who refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And I don't treat this as, I don't understand this as a declaration of arrogance, rather a declaration of his assurance that Jesus deeply loved him. And John also wrote, in addition to the gospel account that we have, three short letters which were delivered to the early church as counsel, advice, encouragement. And those letters also significantly focus on the topic of love. Randy read for us a lesson this morning, and emphasis in that passage from one of John's letters was on love, the importance of God's love for us, and consequently the importance that we as a community of believers express love to one another. Now, John was really also the theologian, if you will, of the gospel writers. By that I mean, he was the one who dug deeply into the things that he was seeing and hearing. Now, it might seem like a bit of a stretch, you know, that a fisherman on the Sea of Galilee should be kind of labeled a theologian. Well, he was, because he listened carefully to the things that Jesus was teaching. And John drew from those implications which others hadn't quite as clearly focused on as he did. And we have, for instance, that opening of his gospel. He doesn't start, you see, with events. He starts with the person of Jesus Christ. In fact, if we were to look at John's gospel, it says more about the who of Jesus was, even than it does about the things that he did. And John focused in and made sure that he recorded those things that emphasized the character and nature of Jesus Christ. And he drew startling insights, because this was all new territory, you see. And he saw in what Jesus was teaching things that probably no one else before him had observed or picked out. Things that still shape our understanding of Jesus Christ to this very day. He began with that testimony concerning Jesus at the beginning of his gospel. And in that, you see how critical that is. He links Jesus Christ as the incarnate Son of God, the Word made flesh. He links that right up with God's work of creation. Because as John sees it, as he comes to understand it, if Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God, uniquely divine, then he was also with God, the Father, in creation. And so this whole created order is also from his hand. And it is insights like that which transform how we have come to understand Jesus Christ. And John doesn't always take new things, though he does emphasize some things in his gospel account which aren't as clearly recorded in the other gospels. But he evaluates and draws out of the things that Jesus said and did depth of understanding which others might easily have passed by. Now, Jesus was also part of, if you will, an inner circle amongst the disciples. In fact, we go back to those same four individuals. Simon, Peter, and Andrew, and James, and John were kind of like an inner circle in the midst of the 12 disciples. And they were on occasion taken aside by Jesus to be witnesses of events that the other disciples didn't get to see. For instance, the transfiguration of Jesus. And John writes out of that experience of having not only the public times to draw from of Christ's teaching when Jesus talked to large groups of people, or even to a smaller but expanded group of disciples, John also has the material to draw from on those occasions when he was more or less with just three or four others, able to converse with Jesus. And I don't know, but I can picture John being rather full of questions, just to clarify things, just to make certain that his understanding was correct. I can picture him sort of peppering Jesus with questions about things as they had opportunity to talk. It's also reflected in his gospel in the inclusion of some material that isn't in the other gospel accounts that come from those times. There's that what's sometimes spoken of as the high priestly prayer, that prayer that Jesus made on behalf of his disciples near the end of his ministry, John 17. That is, we know that thanks to John's record. And John knew that because he was in that inner circle of disciples. John also focused on something else, which we kind of take for granted, perhaps, and that is that, you know, those great lines that we refer to from Jesus, you know, I am the good shepherd, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the vine, you are the branches, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Those all, those I am statements were ones that were recorded by John because he was looking for things that Jesus declared that explained who he was, you see. And those spiritual comparatives were helpful and interesting to John. Because as John heard them, he said to himself, surely, these help us to understand. I want to share these as he sat down to record his gospel. And so there are interesting insights into the life, the person, and the ministry of Jesus Christ, which we would be lacking if John had not recorded his gospel and if in the providence of God that writing had not been preserved for our benefit. And so I commend it to you as a part of the New Testament, not to speed read your way through, but to take time with the things in John's gospel, to think about them, to ponder them. And as John was doing, to seek to understand more clearly who Jesus really was. Now, these four gospel accounts are very much for our benefit. Well, for one thing, there are four voices attesting to the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. And each in their own way brings an individual perspective on that life and ministry. They together give us, you see, this more fully orbed picture of Christ's messianic kingship, his sacrificial life, his true divinity, and John is part of that. And the emphasis in the four Gospels fill out the idea that Jesus is truly human, as we particularly focused in on with Luke. And the fact that Jesus' relationship with his disciples was closer, more personal, more intimate than people had perceived their relationship with God ever being. And we are grateful that in the providence of God, individuals out of that time and place were raised up to record these things, to do so with faithfulness. And by the grace of God, those testimonies were preserved, were circulated, were recognized for what they were in their integrity and value, and were seen to be part of this new corpus of scripture that went with Jesus Christ, which we call the New Testament. So this brings us to the end of this series, but I hope that in some small way it has encouraged your reading of the gospel records and of your alertness as you read to the nuances that each of these testimonies brings to us. So read on, enjoy, consider, ponder, rejoice in God's grace, for he has truly blessed us in Jesus Christ, his Son. Friends, this is good news. Thanks be to God.